Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Got so much to fit in, as always. Before I launch, you can reach me. I want to let you know how to reach me. Info, at redskyradio.net. Info@redskyradio.net. I am so thrilled about this first piece of news today. This good news, and it's not because going back 8 or 9 weeks, 10 weeks, whenever we did our very first program on the coronavirus, and it was my very first prediction, because I get a bunch of predictions wrong. I'm not here trying to pat myself on the back, but this was the very first prediction that I made because it was so deeply set in my heart right out of the gate that there would be different silver linings to the coronavirus fiasco. I don't call it a pandemic, because a pandemic means it's happening everywhere, and it's not. It's not happening everywhere. Call it the New York demic, or the New Orleans demic, or the Detroit demic. Oh, it's a lot of places, but if it's a pandemic, then the flu is the super pandemic. But I made a prediction that something was going to happen. The first and the biggest and maybe the best silver lining coming out of this thing is in fact happening. What I said, whatever that was, like I said, 8 to 10 weeks ago, is that with the schools shut down, a lot of people considered it an inconvenience, a problem, a blow to education. And what I said back then was, this is going to be a boon. This is going to be a robust injection of energy, insight, and perspective towards alternative education, and this could be the biggest freeing moment in the last 50 years to get your kids out of crummy government schools, the ones that aren't there to educate. They're now there to indoctrinate. That because parents and grandparents will see, some of them will see, that being forced to find an alternative means of education, we'll find that the alternative means are so far superior to the left-wing happy crap that dominates government schools today, that controls and drives government unions, teacher unions, which take our taxpayer dollars and turn around and contribute them to the union that turns around and then tries to beat us up at the polls by electing another Democrat to whatever office is that's local or national. We get beat up with our own tax dollars. That the poll that came out just yesterday, the Real Clear Opinion Research poll, found that 40%, 40, actually it's 41% here, it's 40.8, let's round up. 41% of the families are more likely to choose to homeschool their children or engage in virtual learning once the coronavirus subsides. 40% of the people are more likely to homeschool or find some alternative to the left-wing happy crap that they are now realizing how superior the alternatives are. 40%. This is huge. This is how the coronavirus, that which is intended for evil, could be used for good, to quote Joseph in Genesis, whatever chapter, I don't know, 38, somewhere thereabouts. The survey asked the parents, are you more or less likely to enroll your son or daughter in a homeschool, neighborhood homeschool, co-op, or virtual school once the lockdowns are over? This is the result was 40.8. Like I said, I rounded up to 41% said they were more likely to do so. 31% said they were less likely to do so. Now, you might not think that's a big deal. Well, 41% more likely, 31% less likely. No, the difference is huge, and this is why. The 31% that were less likely were never likely. They're just less likely because they're not finding the alternatives bad. They're finding the alternatives inconvenient. These are the people who are never going to do it anyway. They're just simply less likely to do alternatives because it imposes an additional burden. That would be the only reason anybody would be less likely. Were they finding that, oh my gosh, this homeschooling, the alternatives, our kids are learning so much less? No, 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 that's not it at all, not even close. But the 41% is a real number because these aren't people who are already homeschooling. These aren't people who are already having their kids in private schools. These are the ones who are discovering the mass difference between the one size fits all, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black, to quote Henry Ford, the no alternatives, slam it, ram it, cram it, and jam it down your throat, government schools. The ones where they teach queer everything, condom free, free condoms, evolution, anti-God, anti-Christian. I mean, you're turning your kids over to moral barbarians in most cases in the government schools. Now, so we've established that this 41% is a real number and it's a huge number. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. It does not surprise me. But it's just, I'm glad to have it confirmed. With political party as a factor, 46% of the parents who said they would be more likely to homeschool identified as Democrats, 42% personally identified as Republicans. Now, now you say, gosh, more Democrats? Well, we have a lot of Democrats out there that are Democrat in name only. In name only. They don't even know what their party stands for. That they're the ones that never realized how bad government schools were until they had something to compare to. The Republicans may already be in better government schools. Better government schools. I don't know. But the statistic that I find really interesting is this one. Among those parents who said they were more likely to homeschool, 36% were white. 50.4% were black, 38% were Hispanic, and 54% were Asian. Isn't that something? I mean, are the Republican children already in better schools? Is that really the only explanation here? But mind you, over 50% of black parents, I'm sorry, of the ones that said they're, of the 41%, they're more likely to homeschool or find an alternative. Over 50% of them are black. 54% are Asian, 38%. In fact, every ethnic group that is more desirous than whites in having their children homeschooled. And I understand that. Some of the inner city schools, maybe they stink. They're bad. They're awful. Maybe it's an easy comparison. But but this may be the beginning of the liberation of our children for those parents who, frankly, don't care enough, or maybe they're just ignorant. I like to think they're just ignorant. Those are the Democrats. Not that they don't care, but they're just ignorant as how awful the schools were, that it's garbage in and garbage out. Wow. Well, we'll see if any of the other predictions come true, but that one already is. Other good news. I love this story coming out of my home state of Michigan, that the Michigan militia there has vowed to protect the 77-year-old barber who resists the shutdown orders. So reading here from Ammo Land, the shooting sports news. So you're kind of wondering where I get some of my news? This is coming from Ammo Land. You got to love it. Members of the Michigan militia are determined to keep a 77-year-old Owosso barber open for business despite Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's order to keep businesses across the state closed during the alleged pandemic. I say alleged. Okay. And speaking of Gretchen Whitmer, also known as AKA Cruella DeVille, she has stated here just yesterday, she's lashing out at the people in Michigan because she says the lockdown, folks, is not optional. These are orders. They are not suggestions. Quoting from, where did I get this from? Okay, this came from Breitbart, good news source. She claimed, this is interesting, she claimed to know how frustrating it is for the people of Michigan. What a lying sack of hooey. She doesn't know how frustrating it is. Is she locked down? Of course not. Does she still have her job? Of course she does. Is she still getting paid? Of course she does. Does she still have armed guards protecting her? She wants all the guns banned in the Capitol, right? And this is a piece of the good news. I got to throw in a piece of good news here. A House and Senate panel in Michigan reviewed the wisdom of allowing openly armed people into the state capitol. And their conclusion, they decided that they should continue to let openly armed people into the state capitol. But Gretchen, Cruella here, DeVille, she's got all her armed guards. She just doesn't want anybody else to be armed. No, 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 no. She said these executive orders, and I'm quoting her, are not suggestions, they're not optional, they're not helpful hints. So here's what happened with a barber in Shiawassee County, in the town of Owosso in Shiawassee. A lot of Indian names in Michigan. So the attorney general, I can't remember the name of that lesbian, but whatever. She sought a temporary restraining order against the barber, Mr. Mankey, on behalf of Cruella. But she was denied the order by a Shiawassee County judge. Hey, glory, hallelujah. Even the judges listen to the rest of this. Then Circuit Court Judge Matthew Stewart refused to sign the order before a hearing. So there's no validation of anything that Cruella DeVille is doing here. None whatsoever. And this is the icing on the cake. Shiawassee County Sheriff, meanwhile, Brian Bagode, said that his department would not enforce Whitmer's orders, and I quote him, he says, with limited resources, staffing, and facilities, our priority focus will be on enforcing duly passed laws for the protection of Shiawassee County citizens. I have decided within my authority that our office cannot and will not divert our primary resources and efforts towards enforcement of the governor's executive orders. End quote. Every sheriff in the United States who's sitting on a whack job like Whitmer or Newsom it just go to the Democrat states. It's the blue states that are all screwed up because they got screwed up people leading them. Should just take this line verbatim from Shiawassee County Sheriff Brian Bagode, or I'm sorry, I misspoke, it's Bagole, should just take this and memorize it. Look, we can't do it. We have a job of, and we're so busy enforcing duly passed laws and with the extra duties that we can't do your crapola, Governor. Sorry. Too bad, so sad. Next piece of good news. Gosh, just keeps getting better, right? Wisconsin Supreme Court makes a historic ruling. Of course, and what do? They strike down the governor's stay-at-home order and said, you've exceeded the authority, actually, of the director of public health in Wisconsin. And I love the reasoning here. It's simple. Now, it was a 4-3 vote. It was close. But said, look, you can't have the director of health giving an order. Person's not even elected. And then they struck down the governor's orders. So the governor's office is just sort of stuck with this thing. Now, I want to tell you this. You don't think that governors are important? This is a 4-3 decision in favor of freedom, liberty, and the people in the state of Wisconsin. And how did it get to be a 4-3 decision in favor? Because the God-fearing, great former governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, appointed two of those four justices. What do I have to say? As the song goes, on Wisconsin, on... Well, okay. Another piece of good news. Sturm Ruger. Anybody heard? Everybody raise your hand that's heard of Sturm Ruger. Yeah, I see those hands all over the place. Sturm Ruger is a gun manufacturer and a Ruger Arms. He originally supplied arms to the military, have some very famous guns in the history of this great company. Their sales are skyrocketing. This whole alleged pandemic gun buying spree, if you will, is just set. I mean, it sets records every single month. Every single month, it just sets a record, at least for that particular month. So there's this massive surge in gun purchases in mid-March after COVID-19 was declared a pandemic. There was an unprecedented, they said, 300% spike in background checks at the FBI on March 16th alone. And an entire month, they said, there was a staggering 3.7 million checks conducted on the gun buyers by the FBI. So why is this great news? Because a people armed are a people free. A people with a Second Amendment are a people that have a liberty. Look, we're really the last country in the world with a Second Amendment. No matter, no surprise that the Democrats want to take it down. It's the last step towards world domination, and they're going to keep trying, and maybe someday it works. Look, I hope we don't have a civil war. I really don't want one. But if we're going to have one, let's have it sooner than later. When we got the guns, we got the ammo, and we got the people, and there's enough good people to hopefully defend their rights. You see, what it comes down to is that when the government has the guns and the people don't, it's a tyranny. And when the people have the guns, that's called freedom, and it's liberty. You see, when the government is in control of the people, those are tyrants. When the government fears the people, that's liberty. No wonder Whitmer, Cruella DeVille, doesn't want any guns in the Capitol. And guess what? She was complaining about these lawmakers, but she was complaining about the fact that some of them feared so badly that they had to wear bulletproof vests. Guess what? Those were the Democrats, as you might expect. So as it turns out, this whole pandemic is not the pandemic we thought because, well, I never thought it was a pandemic. Because, well, what did they predict? 3.4 to 4.5% death rate? 3.4 to 4.5% death rate. Which, of course, in the United States at 3.4 of those that are affected, well, what is it? It's 0.02. 0.02. Isn't that something? Now, I want to finish up the good news portion with this story, and or just a comment. I'm not. It's not really a story. It's a comment. This is another good thing that is actually, I think, hopefully coming out of this whole fiasco. I think it is. And that is, you've heard the phrase that, you know, we're like the frog being heated in the pot very slowly. And then there comes a day where we realize that we're cooked. But because it didn't happen quickly, we didn't notice it. And that's very, very true. It's a truism, and it's been happening year after year after year. The good news coming out of this is that your power mongers like Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Cruella DeVille Whitmer are so greedy of power. They so lust for power. They so desire to have everybody in their clutches. And Whitmer's just another, just a variation on Jezebel, that they have seized it in grand, glorious, and fashion, thinking that all power, it's good to be king, kind of attitude that they have, is that many people have realized we are no longer just heating up slowly. The Democrats just jacked the burner up to high on the stove. And we can feel it getting hot very, very fast. And so those good gun-owning people in Michigan, yeah, keep at it, you guys. Just do it lawfully. Never even encourage unlawful, but praise God. Open carry of an AR-15 inside the Capitol in Michigan is still legal. Who'da thunk it? Wow. But the interesting thing here is that we do know the true colors of the Democrats. Not that I've needed any illustrations here, just as a confirmation. I stay close to this. I see it. Oh, you know what? I got to add one more good news piece here. We're 22 minutes into this program, and I'm still on good news, sort of, you know, kind of in and out with some other stuff here. But they are now saying that all of the California colleges and universities, the state-subsidized ones, the state propaganda institutions, the UC, University of California, and the CSU, California State University Systems, will be closed this fall. Isn't that interesting? It's only May, halfway through May. They're already closed for the fall. I am thrilled about this. That means go get your learning online. This means that you should be able to pay these whacked job professors about 50% of what they're getting paid, and that might not be close to their real value. Should be able to cut down taxes. You don't have to heat these classrooms and all of this stuff or air condition them or provide any of these services. Let them go online and get maybe a real education. Maybe they'll discover, like the homeschoolers in high school, that they're getting actually a better education than the left-wing happy crap that they've been force-fed at these institutions of lower learning in the state of California. Now, I want to just give you this quick rundown. I'm not going to go into these stories. This is just sort of a little quick rundown of the news that's out there, which you can find if you search for it. You won't find it on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, ABC, or did I say that one? NBC, I don't know. What difference does it make? They're all the same, right? But you can find this online. Rikers Island, the prison in New York. Over 100 inmates that have been freed because of the coronavirus have already been rearrested for new crimes. Folks, this is happening all over the place. Now, you don't just get to come and go in a prison. So just you test the people in the prison and leave those suckers locked up. And you test the person coming in, the new admittees, the ones that have finally upgraded and have finally arrived because they now have a home in a gate-guarded community. These guys, but I'm going to say, when I'm done with this, don't go away for all the prisoners I got listening to me here, because I got a bunch of Christian prisoners that love this program and write to me great things. I am just saying this is stupid on the part of the government to be freeing prisoners. The ones who have not gotten saved in prison are out there committing new crimes. I can tell you that. The truly saved, the born again in prison that might be released, glory hallelujah to you guys. You got a get out of jail free card. But for all the others that look, if it's a locked community and they're tested and there's no coronavirus, just admit the new people after they've been attested to be free of it, and you've got a controlled situation. Instead of letting out a whole bunch of bad dudes with a few good dudes, but a whole bunch of bad dudes, to quote Donald Trump, that are out there just committing more crimes. But leave it to New York that's stuck on stupid. Churches across the U.S. are filing lawsuits against Democrat governors. Don't hear that, do you? No, you don't. The mainstream news isn't covering the fact on the unmasking of Michael Flynn or Trump's comments that this is all Biden and Obama. And Obama is at the very heart of this effort to undo Trump because he was afraid that his precious little legacy might get uprooted and we'd show him to be the crummy president, the crummiest president in modern day history that we've had, because Donald Trump was going to run a steamroller over Barack Obama. Hussein Obama, sorry, left out his middle name. So Trump says this is all Obama and Biden. Biden's in on these meetings. He definitely is, but the media carries water for this loser, which we'll cover in a minute. And then back to, as the media covered this story. Okay, so Gretchen Carrillo DeVille Whitmer is all over the media, except when she says these things, which you've got to find. She says, I believe Joe Biden, despite the vast majority of sexual assault allegations being true. Now, she's speaking generally. In other words, this is what Cruella DeVille is saying. She said, but the media will not report this, mainstream media. She said, I believe all of the sexual allegations made against Republicans. All of the sexual allegations made against the guy who I'm prostituting desperately to try to be the running mate for. How about this one? John Brennan suppressed all the intel saying Russia wanted Hillary Clinton to win. Have you heard that story? Charles Hurt writes, did you hear about this? Barack Obama's obsession with General Michael Flynn, and he was obsessed because Flynn was smarter than Obama, more righteous than Obama, and he was going to call out Obama. Trump halts plans to invest U.S. federal retirement funds in Chinese companies. Did you hear about that? Of course not. That's why you need to listen to Red Sky Radio. Don't go away. Rob Walter, we will be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We're back. This is Rob Walter. The great music that came out of my home state of Michigan. Wilson Pickett, although he's actually originally from Alabama, I think, moved up to Detroit to record his music, so I call him one of my own. Okay, we've talked in the past about the ridiculous bias of the media, but that has now extended to Facebook and Google, and it's just these people hate Christians, they hate Christianity. They're of the left. They're increasingly the extreme left. They feel emboldened to shut people down. Twitter is gone on to new lengths in shutting down people, most of all Candace Owens. Candace Owens is just the kind of person that the left is so afraid of ever. I mean, she's making a name for herself, young, articulate, conservative, black female. She's not a veteran, I guess. I don't think she is. I think it's about the only thing she's missing here to just wreck and wreak havoc on the Democrat narrative. Love this gal. Love how she speaks out. She talks about Blexit. You know, Britain had, let's get out of the EU, Brexit. She heads up Blexit, which is the black migration from the Democrat plantation, which she is heading up. But she got scotched on Twitter. She wrote here, the people of Michigan spoke up against big government tyranny from their far-left governor, Gretchen Whitmer. I defended these brave Americans on Twitter so the world would know patriots are taking a stand against egregious civil rights violations during this quarantine. As a result, Twitter has banned my account. You see, the left, there's something the left is so terribly afraid of. This is why they hate Jesus. It's why the left, why Democrats hate Christianity and the Bible. They are afraid of the truth. Whether the truth comes from Donald Trump, whether it comes from Candace Owens, whether it comes from me. Because we sometimes quote the Bible, but oftentimes we're just stating truths that are in Scripture, but without citing the Scripture. It just isn't always necessary to give chapter and verse. The most important thing is it says that the Word of God will not return void. It will go out and accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. So we can quote the Word of God without having to quote the chapter and verse. See, the chapter and verse was never in the Word to begin with. We've added that just so that we can find Romans 8:28. But we don't have to say, as Romans 8:28 says, that was never in the Word to begin with. We just give the Word. And the left hates it because the left can't stand truth. And I understand why. Satan's the father of liars, right? The father of lies, so it means his children are little liars. They can't handle the truth. And why can't you see, you tend to be afraid of things that you're not familiar with. And Democrats just simply have no familiarity with the truth. And so therefore they are scared of it. They're afraid of it, and it's going to destroy their power trips. And that's why, since the news is so bad, I continue to give this shout out to my friends at the Babylon Bee. It is Christian satire at its absolute best. Folks, I will tell you, I don't even know if the Babylon Bee knows I pushed their website and their online newspaper, if you will. It's satire. It's the way of poking fun at things in a way that, through the infusion of humor, makes a story much more poignant, or a point much more poignant than to just talk about it. I'll just give you an example, because I go there for levity. I encourage you guys to do it. I don't know who these people are. This one I read this morning. Joe Biden unveils his vote by telegram proposal. And I saw it, and it shows, of course, it's Photoshop. It just says, I vote for Joe Biden. Stop. Well, it's funny, but it's truthful. This is the point. It would be, maybe it wouldn't be so funny if it weren't true. And it doesn't always deal with religious things. In fact, oftentimes it doesn't. It's political things or things that are need to be pointed out, like this one. Taco Bell, totally unaffected by meat shortage. And the one that is not so funny, but it is truthful, it's satire. They say 68% of all people surveyed say the lockdown shouldn't end until all diseases are eradicated and there's no more war, hunger, or suffering, including anything including bee and wasp stings. And you know what? Sadly, there is a measure of truth in that. But satire makes it hit home. Go check those guys out. Now, something here, why the Democrats wanted a full-scale shutdown of the country. I am conjecturing here. This is a speculation. I'm not saying I know this. I just got a gut sense on this one. That the reason they wanted a full-scale shutdown, going deeper, the deeper deep state Democrats, more than just getting Trump out of office, is that if you have a national shutdown, it prevents the manifestation of the success of federalism. He's like, Rob, what the heck are you talking about, man? Federalism, isn't that where the federal government can do anything and everything? No, this is where you need to go back to civics or your government class. Federalism means the exact opposite. We are a federal union of states, meaning that the states retain, it's the exact opposite, a measure of sovereignty. The beauty of federalism and not having government mandated anything is, yes, it allows the state of whatever to fail and the state of whatever else to succeed in attempting to tackle the same problem. This way, the loser states get to learn from the success of the wiser winning states. And everybody has their political and economic and well-being raised by the losers learning from the winners. But you see, federal mandates forces institutional mediocrity at its best, as in so-called education, upon the people. It doesn't let the state of, and I'm just picking on them, let's say the state of Louisiana to fail and the state of South Dakota to succeed. Louisiana is denied the opportunity of seeing the success in another state. That is true federalism. And federalism is what the Democrats are against, because what do they see? They see that this federal approach, federalistic approach, keep in mind, it's the exact opposite of what most people think and have been taught, allows South Dakota to succeed with respect to the COVID-19 thing with no lockdowns, for Wyoming, different parts of various states to succeed by not following a governmental mandate issued by at the national level, which Trump did not do. Trump is a federalist, meaning he wants the states to improve the well-being of the whole union by being able to experiment and pursue what they think is in the best interest of their citizens based on their population and a whole sorts of factors that nobody knows better than that state. Democrats don't want states to go it alone and succeed, because it sets a precedent that they have been trying to reverse and have been greatly successful under Democrat institutions for a long time. Because the success of Wyoming and South Dakota and North Dakota and parts of other states is going to prove the reasoning and the merit of federalism. I went deep on you there. Well, that was you get a college credit for that 10 minutes. Okay, so Joe Biden, let's go to Joe. I can't stay away from this guy, although, frankly, speaking of the Babylon Bee, there's an interesting thing. Remember, it's Christian satire. A quote from Barack Obama says, Biden has touched us all. Well, you can read into that double entendre. But anyway, Biden is a problem because it's almost too late to dump him. Although the head of the DNC just yesterday said, wait a second, we must have a convention. We cannot just let this coronation happen unofficially. The head of the DNC is seeing that Biden has turned in just a simple, he's turned in a complete whack job, which I will quote here in just a few minutes. No, let's quote him right now. What was it, yesterday? I don't know what program he was on. He said, we've lost 85,000 jobs and millions of people have died. And then repeated it. Millions and millions of people have died. He's got the numbers totally reversed, but he doesn't know the meaning of reversal anymore. Poor guy that they continue to prop up, this guy with senior dementia hanging out in a basement. What have we done? We actually have added a new meaning to the term basement dweller. It now means somebody not who's just 30 years old, who's still hanging on to mama's apron strings and sucking off the production of mom and dad and doing nothing with their life. No, it now means somebody who's so traumatized by fear of all kinds, including bees and wasps, according to the Babylon Bee, that they're hanging out in the basement, and that now includes Joe Biden. Now, he did emerge the other day from his basement and spent some time on his back porch, but probably feared bee and wasp stings and went back into the basement. He is the new basement dweller, as are all the COVID-19 hairy, scary, nervous Nellies that are out there. But you see, all the people that have hitched their skirts to Joe Biden to become vice president because they think that's the ticket to becoming president because they know that he'll have a medical emergency 8 seconds after he's sworn in. And if it's Hillary, it'll be Arkansas. They're concerned. They are very tentatively endorsing him because they want to be his running mate, but now they run the risk of two things. One, that if he actually is the nominee, he's going to go down in flames and they go down in flames, hitching their wagon to such a loser, or that having to hitch their wagon to such a loser, they are now knocked out of consideration at the Democrat convention, which many are already thinking that old creepy Joe has got to go. Maybe that's the slogan, creepy Joe has got to go. Well, okay, John Nolte, great writer for Breitbart. He brings out something. I didn't get to it last week. The 8 credible sexual assault allegations and fondling, if you'll call that sexual assault, and especially when Joe's fondling and running his hands up and down the arms of 10 and 12-year-old girls. The guy is a creep, an absolute creep. Like I said, he wouldn't get within 5 or 10 feet of my granddaughters. Or he's got serious problems if he's looking at them. But it's gone deeper. And will the mainstream press report this? Of course not. Ron Kessler of the Washington Times wrote a book called The First Family Detail. And he writes about it's an interesting book. I have not read the whole book. I've read excerpts from it. But it's interesting how the Secret Service agents reveal the president and the first lady. And I will tell you that there are two sets that the Secret Service agents really liked. They liked the Obamas and they liked the Trumps. And why? Because each one of those pairs have treated the Secret Service agents with great respect. And I might add, although not all of them can tell this story because it's getting too far back in the past, Ronald Reagan was very, very dearly loved by the Secret Service agents. There are, however, two that are of notable disdain, hatred by the Secret Service agents. Hillary Clinton, who treated them like crapola, and Joe Biden. Joe Biden, go read this book. And you'll see that one of Creepy Joe's things that he would do routinely, not just routinely, sometimes daily, would come out to the pool, strip down old naked Creepy Joe, and force female Secret Service agents to watch this jerk. To watch him. How many times has this happened over and over? So Kessler goes on to say, Mr. Biden's lack of consideration is even more stunning. And he's talking about in addition to how he treated all female Secret Service agents out away from the pool. But he goes on to say it was even more stunning when it came to female agents who were offended that the vice president bizarrely swam naked in front of them, often daily, at his pools, plural, at the vice president's residences, plural, in Washington and in Delaware. He says, think about the kind of sick pervert who would, without her consent, expose himself to a female Secret Service agent. And I might add, often and daily, and multiple Secret Service agents. Continuing the quote, if you want to talk about a man abusing his power, how about the vice president of the United States parading around naked in front of female Secret Service agents who have no agency to push back? I got to stop there. That's right. They've got no recourse. Who do they go recourse to? They're working for the president and the vice president. Continue on. So they just shut up and take it from a jerk they're willing to take a bullet for. When we learned that Harvey Weinstein and Charlie Rose were exposing themselves to women without their consent, we were all correctly horrified by such a thing, by their appalling abuse of power. So how is Weinstein or Rose exposing themselves in this shower, or by popping open their respective bathrobes, any different from Biden swimming nude in front of female Secret Service agents? It's not. This unbelievable creep has not only been credibly accused of violent sexual assault, has not only been hit with seven other accusations of unwanted touching and kissing, but we have video after video of him pawing women and children, making them visibly uncomfortable in public with his unwanted kisses and his hair sniffing. This is how bad this guy is. Now, you take all of the Biden's gaffes. I just want to point out something that actually I don't think anybody has pointed out. Maybe they have, but this is just an epiphany that has come to me. That I got to point out. So Joe Biden's gaffe, so that's 85,000 people have lost their jobs and millions have died, and I'm the only one that can defeat Ronald Reagan and all of this kind of stuff. I mean, what has he got? Hundreds of these gaffes. Remember Rick Perry? Rick Perry, remember him? He was contesting hotly. Let's put it say that. He was at the forefront of the Republican candidacy process back in 2016 and late 15. He made one mistake on TV. He said there are three things that I will do, and he could only remember two. He forgot one of them. He forgot one thing, and he was summarily disposed of by the press. Joe Biden can't remember that he's running against Donald Trump instead of Ronald Reagan and eight gazillion other things. And the prostitutes, the whores in the media, the ones that are carrying water for the Democrats, can't even bring it up. Jeez, oh Pete. Well, quickly, California. Oh my gosh, I've told so many people to try getting out of California. I don't think I got time to cover this story, but the news is that there are now, with the open ballot, Governor Gruesome. This is why you can't have a popular vote, folks. You got to have the Electoral College. That the new tabulation here with mail voting, everybody gets to just vote by mail. He said, hey, screw you, legislature. I'm just going to give you an executive order. Everybody gets to vote by mail. He just did this unilaterally. It's good to be king, isn't it, Gavin? You got this? You got a pen? You might want to write this down. As many as 458,000 dead persons could be mailed ballots in November of 2020 in California. 458,000 dead people. And we know, my number is wrong. Before I said it was 70 to 75, it's actually 80 to 85% from what we can determine, and has been determined, of dead people vote for Democrats. Dead people vote Democrat. We know that. Democrats have no morals, no brains, no cojones. And so what's voter fraud to people who love abortion, who love same-sex this and that, and who violate every one of the Ten Commandments? What's voter fraud? It's a parking ticket to these folks. And I just might throw out here, the plan put forth now in California, the stopping the eviction, stopping the repayment for a while of your mortgages and of your car payments, and allowing tenants who no longer are making rental payments and can't be evicted up to 10 years to make up for the missed payments beginning in 2024. Oh my goodness sakes. Well, I have a thought to ponder in closing here. Regarding mail-in ballots. If you can't trust your state to correctly count COVID deaths, how on earth can you trust your state to correctly count mail-in votes? I mean, think about it. They can't get the COVID death because they're trying to massage the numbers by the person suffering from five things, any one of which could kill the person in the next 30 days, but they also get the coronavirus. They die, and of course, that's the attributing disease as a cause of their death. But if you can't trust your state to count the COVID deaths because they're manipulating the numbers, how on earth could we ever trust them to correctly count mail-in votes? And I want to close with this. And I say this as a tribute to my brethren and sistren, brethren being all-inclusive, male and female, in the state of Michigan who have risen up with arms to confront the abuse of tyranny. You see, tyranny needs to be confronted. And the greater the tyranny, the greater the response can and should be and is appropriate. I want to thank Gary, who sent this in from California. He said, he actually sent in this a quote by Samuel Adams. And he said here, Adams' quote here is to inspire people to become brushfires of freedom. The first words tell a compelling truth. A minority can set the direction of events. And this is very true. Look at the communist-dominated countries and see how that happened. Small minorities imposed their will on others. The communists were never the majority. They were more persistent and brutal when it became necessary for their goals. So take an interest in politics, because indifference can be fatal. So I want you to consider this quote by Samuel Adams. And I speak thus. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brushfires of freedom in the hearts and minds of men and women. Let me read that again to you. It is just simply that powerful, and I would hope inspiring. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brushfires of freedom in the hearts and minds of men and women. End quote. You see those brushfires of freedom. As we lose it, those brushfires need to be reset. What is that? I can't quote it correctly here or completely, but periodically the cause of liberty and freedom must be rekindled, or with the blood of the martyrs, something to that effect. Something like what is happening in Michigan, or happened with the Tea Party back into the waning years of Barack Obama, are brush fires. They need to be lit. And like the burning bush, that God was before Moses. They won't be consumed. And like that burning bush was before Moses, it will speak. And like that burning bush of God speaking to Moses, these patriots will be inspired. And they will be moved. And they will not consider, for some of them certainly, their lives, their property, or their place in history. But they want this nation to be free because they want themselves and most of all, the succeeding generations to be free. God bless you all. Remember to sit tall in the saddle, America. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.